If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
E-cigarettes, e-cigs, booming business, about $2 billion last I checked among smokers who want to light up indoors, maybe smokers who want to quit, and even young children as early as sixth grade. So e-cigarettes, where are we, where should we go, what we need to know? Dr. Stanton Glantz is an anti-tobacco activist. He's also a professor at the School of Medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. Doctor, thanks for coming on today. Of all the things we've heard about e-cigarettes and all the facts we probably need to know about them, in your opinion, what's the most important thing we need to know?
Well, the most important thing to know is that while they're taking a puff of an e-cigarette probably isn't as dangerous as taking a puff of a cigarette, that you're still breathing in a lot of toxic chemicals. And many of the claims, in fact, all of the claims that are being made about e-cigarettes and their marketing are probably not true. E-cigarettes haven't been shown to help people quit smoking. E-cigarettes don't just emit harmless water vapor. They pollute the air with nicotine, with volatile organic compounds, nanoparticles, heavy metals, and that you don't really know what you're getting when you're using them because they're not regulated. The biggest problem with them, though, is that people talk about them as if they were switching from conventional cigarettes to e-cigarettes. And about 80% of the people who use e-cigarettes, whether you're talking about adults or kids, are what are called dual users. And that is they keep smoking regular cigarettes at the same time they're using the e-cigarettes. And so they kind of get the worst of both worlds when they do that.
All right, here's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike?
So when they get the worst of both worlds, now people say they have quit, excuse me, people say they have cut down to a great degree on smoking because smoking is so much more expensive than e-cigarettes. Are there any data to say that or do we know
that?
Well,
the prices are very variable. And I mean, if you go on the internet, there are millions of people claiming that e-cigarettes help them quit smoking or that they cut down smoking. And, you know, that may well be the case. But when you look at the objective population level data, what you find is people who use e-cigarettes on average are actually a little bit less likely to quit smoking than someone using e-cigarettes. So what that means is that for everyone that e-cigarettes might help quit, there's one other person, and maybe more than one other person, where they inhibited quitting. And so if people want to quit smoking, there are established, proven treatments that can be used, counseling techniques, nicotine replacement, other stronger drugs for when it's appropriate. And people who want to quit smoking should use the proven methods rather than these products, which, after all, are being sold by tobacco companies who have no interest.
I should tell you, Stan, we do have an active smoking cessation. In fact, there are only five smoking cessation programs in the state of Ohio, and three of them are Cleveland Clinic-based.
Yeah.
Including one that we have over a 60% success rate with cotinine testing at 2 years. So, which means that the people have really stayed off for the have really stayed off them.
Right. So people who want to quit smoking should do that. And the e-cigarettes, the other big problem with e-cigarettes is it's kind of a wild west marketing environment. There are no meaningful restrictions on their marketing. And so for the first time since 1972, well over half the population wasn't even alive in 1972, we now have nicotine advertising back on television. And the ads for e-cigarettes look just like the ads we used to see for cigarettes in the 1950s and 60s.
You mean with the sexy babes and the...
Yep, sex, you know, rebellion, independence. I mean, it's just... a colleague of mine actually did a content analysis of e-cigarette advertising, and it's essentially the same as old-fashioned cigarette advertising, The difference is that the e-cigarettes have flavors and use all the technology that the cigarette companies developed to hook kids. So things which would be illegal to do if it was a cigarette, things like strawberry or chocolate or licorice cigarettes, are now banned, but you can get all those flavors in e-cigarettes. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that the CDC reported a couple of months ago that e-cigarette use was skyrocketing among kids.
And so do we know, is this a gateway to smoking? Has it... Do we have any data on that?
No, it's reasonable to think that would be the case, but we don't. No one is. None of the studies that have been done of e-cigarette use in kids are what are called longitudinal studies, where you follow people forward in time. And in order to answer that question, we would need longitudinal studies. What we have now are cross-sectional studies, which is a snapshot in time. And we know that there's a very high level of co-use between e-cigarettes and regular cigarettes, and we know that some of the kids who are using e-cigarettes are not smoking regular cigarettes, but we don't know which came first.
Now, Stan, one of the things you did a great deal with was get cigarettes out of California, if you will, decrease the usage a great deal, and it's down to, I guess, 12 or so percent in California. And secondhand smoke. Just to give you the background, at the Cleveland Clinic, we banned smoking any place on our campuses and then stopped hiring smokers, and think those are useful tactics to help rid us of tobacco. But the question is, what did you do that was so powerful in California, and what would you advocate that people with worrying about this do in a broader context? That is, do we need regulation? Do we need something that cuts down on advertising? Is it ethical to not hire people the way we have? What's the general feeling?
Well, first of all, on the area of e-cigarettes should not be allowed to be used anywhere that you can't smoke conventional cigarettes. E-cigarettes just don't pollute the air as much as a conventional cigarette, but they still pollute the air. And there are people who, non-smokers who are around e-cigarette users, have detectable levels of cotinine, which is a measure of that they're breathing in the nicotine, which is the addictive drug in both cigarettes and e-cigarettes. So to me, the very first thing to do is to include e-cigarettes in all smoke-free policies. Here at the University of California, San Francisco, where we have a tobacco-free campus, for example, e-cigarettes are included, and in fact, the entire University of California system is going tobacco-free in January, and that includes e-cigarettes. So I think...
I should tell you, just to give you a role model of Dr. Cosgrove, who's our CEO, he campaigned with the state legislature and regents of the state, and in fact, 12 of the 18 state colleges in Ohio went smoke-free October 1st, and Ohio State goes smoke-free January 1st.
Yeah, well, that's a very important thing to do, first of all, because it protects non-smokers from all the toxic chemicals and secondhand smoke. But the other thing it does is it really says to everyone that smoking just is out, and that the social norm has really shifted away from one in which tobacco use was considered normative, acceptable behavior, and it's not anymore. And in fact, that's another threat that e-cigarettes pose to reaching a smoke-free society, because a lot of people are very concerned that they're renormalizing tobacco use, especially indoors. And there's no reason at all, regardless of what you think about how dangerous or not dangerous e-cigarettes are, there's no reason to reintroduce air pollution.
That's Dr. Stanton Glantz. We'll be back with him more on e-cigarettes. And your questions, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Stanton Glantz is a professor at the School of Medicine, University of California, San Francisco. He's been speaking out about publicly e-cigarettes and through his blog on the need to regulate e-cigarettes just like regular tobacco cigarettes. Here again is Dr. Mike Royson.
Stan, you were instrumental in decreasing smoking rates, especially among teens in California. Joe asked before what we can do to increase physical fitness. And is there any model that you can use from what you did with smoking to increase either physical fitness or make food choices healthier?
Well, I think the physical fitness issue is really, there are other issues there having to do with the built environment and time that people are given to actually engage in physical fitness, especially kids. I think when you're talking about obesity, there are many parallels with tobacco. The reason we have the tobacco epidemic is because a few giant multinational corporations have been making a lot of money selling cigarettes, which kill people. And in the food industry, it's also dominated by a few giant multinational corporations, where they found it just to be much more profitable to make unhealthy foods that are high in sugar, that are high in fats, that are high in salt, than to sell foods which are not so obesity-inducing. And, you know, the one big difference, of course, with tobacco is you don't need cigarettes to live, but you need food to live. And so I think the real challenge we have in the obesity area is to recognize that we really just have to regulate the food industry and prohibit them from doing the kind of things which are creating the problem. At the same time, our agricultural policy, through the heavy subsidies that go to corn and other, which is used to make high fructose corn syrup, also makes the problem much worse. We really need to have an agricultural policy that encourages fruits and vegetables and healthy foods rather than what we have now. So and of course, the food industry is fighting that tooth and nail, and in fact, they're using many of the same organizations and front groups that the tobacco companies created and are still using to fight smoke-free environments and other kinds of sensible tobacco regulation.
So do you think, in other words, knowing that and knowing that, I mean, it seems much harder to regulate food because we need it to live, and because, as Joe said, he was at a restaurant yesterday, and half of the order, half of the tables had a bloomin' onion, which is the worst food in the world.
Well, I don't agree. I mean, most people eat, unfortunately, eat processed food here in the United States, and you know, the FDA just moved to ban trans fats. Others, one thing we could do, if you look on the menu or on the nutrition label on foods. It'll say there's so many calories, there's so many of different constituents, and it'll tell you what fraction that is of the recommended daily allowance. There isn't a denominator like that for sugar. And I think if we simply added on the labeling for products the recommended daily intake of sugar so people could see how many of these foods are, you know, a can of Coke is giving you almost your entire recommended daily allowance of sugar. Just, you know, it's more than the recommended daily allowance, and that would put pressure on the manufacturers to stop putting things in these foods, which is generating the obesity epidemic.
But now Coke and the other people will argue is just what they argued with Bloomberg, meaning we need freedom of choice, and who's going to regulate a 32-ounce can versus a 8-ounce can?
Well, I mean, the organization, in fact, I think it was called the Center for Consumer Freedom that went after Bloomberg, used to be called the Guest Choice Network, and it was set up by Philip Morris to oppose smoking bans. And, you know, the Manny State freedom of choice arguments, those are all exactly the same arguments that the tobacco companies have used. And as I said, I think the first thing I would do would be simply put a recommended daily allowance for sugar on all packaged products, because I think when people then saw just how much added sugar there is, they would start to freak out. And that would
Where are you going to get a daily value for
sugar?
Oh,
it exists. I don't remember the exact number, but the American Heart Association has one.
For added
sugar. The World
sugar.
Health Organization has one that they've been working on for years and years and years. So that's easy. I mean, there is a number out there, and there have been pitched political battles over the years between public health and physicians groups and dentists who want to add that, and it's been kept off by the sugar industry.
No, that's right. In fact, they
food companies.
You know, they had sugar in the pyramid as a desired food in the health pyramid.
Right. And there's just massive amounts of politics sitting behind all of that.
Stan, any last thoughts? We're going to go to the tip of the week, but any last thoughts on e-cigarettes? We obviously, at the Cleveland Clinic, we treat them just like regular cigarettes. Smoking.
Well, I think that's exactly right. People, they shouldn't be used anywhere that you can't smoke cigarettes. And people who want to quit smoking should use proven methods. And the e-cigarette manufacturers should stop being allowed to claim that they're helping people quit smoking until they've gone to the FDA with scientific proof that those claims are true.
That's Stanton Glantz. He's one of the greats, and we should all give him a whale of a thanks, because he helped health to a major degree in America by what he did with tobacco and secondhand smoke. Thank you, Stanton.
You're welcome. It's been fun.
It has. We're now going to go, Sonar, to the tip of the week. And this is Make Achy Joints Feel Better, Not Worse in Winter. Ask anyone with achy arthritic joints what they do on cold, short days, and the answer is stay inside and stay warm. But please add a third stay to the list. Stay inside, stay warm, and stay active. Keep your joints flexible by movement, That's right. Keeping joints from getting stiffer and strengthening muscles to act as shock absorbers is a plus for arthritis sufferers. What to do? Go for a walk or ask for a stationary bike or We Too Fit this holiday season. That's right. Put the bike in front of the TV. Never watch TV without being on the bike. You'll be less achy by New Year's and really ready for spring. Joe?
All right, Dr. Mike, thanks. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.